The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Baton Rouge, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. This is always fun when we get to do this because we don't do it often. Some of these are widely available, some of these sort of narrowly available, and some of these only available here. It's our Q3, the quarter pole, Major League Baseball derivatives pod, where we isolate starting pitchers, full teams on the money line and on the run line, home road splits, we do first fives, we do first innings, and we always talk about how much of this is narrative, how much of this is predictive as we head into the final quarter of the Major League Baseball season. And as is tradition, from the betting dork days to the beating the book days to a numbers game, Mark Borchardt from an undisclosed location helps us out with all. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good, Gil. This is really fun. I love this show. I love it when we did it in the past, but it's better now. I think that there's more data out there. The data is like so impressive, like what's going on with Major League Baseball. It's great.
It's a total nerd out. By the way, Jeff wants to ask us a question before we start. He was like, can I ask you guys a baseball question? What is the baseball question?
Well, it's kind of flown under the radar a little bit, at least for us. But can Adley Rutschman catch Julio Rodriguez in the AL Rookie of the Year race?
We talked about this like when we were like, if Julio never played another game, could anyone catch him? I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Gil. I think that Rutschman just came up a little bit too late. And I mean, it'd be one thing if Baltimore was in the race and is going to make the race. I don't think they are. And so, like, you got Seattle, which is a kind of the feel-good story, in my opinion.
The Orioles are as feel-good as they come, and the Orioles certainly have great, great hope for the future now with all these call-ups. And so, and by the way, there's Mountcastle, the official baseball player of primetime action. Don't forget about Ryan Mountcastle.
How does that work, Gil? I don't know about that one.
Just very anecdotally, when Kelly, Matt, and I were doing primetime for 2 years and baseball was on, every time we looked up, Ryan Mountcastle was doing something spectacular. Like, it just never failed. So it was just sort of this sort of thing that caught on. But anyway, speaking of that, this is a great transition. By the way, we'll get to Mark Borchardt's plays of the day here as well, beyond the Q3 part. But speaking of that, Baltimore is, to this point in the Major League Baseball season, in their case, exactly 121 games in, they are the single most profitable team in baseball this year. Again, this is a bizarro exercise. If you bet on them to win a unit, if they were a favorite, if you risked a unit, if they were a dog, or risk the unit when they're a favorite, however we're compiling it. But Baltimore way out ahead, 25 units plus. The Mets are a distant second at 16.6 units the positive. And now in third place, as of this morning, the St. Louis Cardinals just a bit shy of 10 units. So that's your top three. Baltimore's the story of the season from a betting standpoint, aren't they?
I'm seeing like guys in Baltimore who have just started betting, right? You know, because betting's new in a lot of these jurisdictions. And they're just, I'm going to bet on my favorite team. And these guys are like, hey, God, this baseball betting's easy.
It's
all right.
So easy.
You know,
just bet the Orioles every day. By the way, at the very bottom, Dodgers in Seattle will round out the top five. The very bottom, and this is really also the biggest story of the baseball betting year, it's the Angels. They are the worst. If you bet them every single game this year, and again, this is a bizarro exercise. If you're doing that, you're probably doing something wrong. But if you did, the Angels would have cost you nearly 24 units. So as successful as the Orioles have been, the Angels are almost every bit as bad. Miami second, Washington third, San Francisco fourth, down 14 units, Oakland fifth. Yes, Jeffrey.
All right, so sorry to interrupt the Q3 real quick.
That's okay.
But we do have some news on the Kevin Durant front.
Oh, boy.
And this will likely be the final thing on the Kevin Durant front. From Sean Marks, Steve Nash and I, together with Joe Tsai and Clara Wu Tsai, met with Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman in Los Angeles yesterday, and we have agreed to move forward with our partnership. We are focusing on basketball and one collective goal in mind, build a lasting franchise to bring a championship to Brooklyn. So in the end, Kevin Durant is going nowhere.
So Will Hill and I talked about when this first went down, we're like, he's not going anywhere. Now, here's my other question. The only follow-up to that is this. Do you think it will be with Kyrie as well?
They said yesterday that they have no intentions of trading Kyrie.
So all of this has been, oh, we just wasted all
nonsense.
This
we
time.
We just wasted 2 months.
We did.
Yeah.
Basketball drama, Mark. Look at Mark's face. He's like, I hate basketball drama. Look at his face. Look at that guy.
I don't see how people can follow more than one sport. It's really tough to do one sport.
Man. Well, the NBA, just think about like One Life to Live or Young and the Restless. That's kind of the NBA in the offseason. So they're going nowhere. Yeah.
No, but I give you guys credit. Like, you guys all, VSiN as a whole, like, you're really knowledgeable about several sports. I'm just like, how do these guys do it? I mean, you guys must be reading it 24 hours a day, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of the gig. It's kind of in our DNA, though. It's like not even like, as I said to people who are like, oh my God, I was 6 years old. I was reading every word of the Washington Post sports section. I really can't take credit for it. It's just kind of innate, you know, just kind of born that way.
Well, props to you, Gil, and props to your significant other as well.
All right, so there it is. There's your KD and Kyrie update. So, again, the worst team's money line, again, bizarro exercise if you bet them every day in baseball. Angels, really, as big as a story as the Orioles are to the positive. The Angels, again, with Mike Trout and Shohei, right, at least to start a season. Obviously, there's been injuries on the Trout side, but they just are horrific, 52-70. But because they were favorites so many times, they have cost bettors nearly 24 units. By the way, the home road splits on those, in case those are interesting to anybody. Baltimore, 18.2 of their units have been at the friendly confines of Orioles Park at Camden Yards. So most of the money they've made has been at their home ballpark. The biggest home loser, the Angels, most of their loss has come 16.55 units at their home ballpark in Anaheim. By the way, away, the best teams have been Philadelphia and the Mets, along with Seattle. They're kind of bunched up at the top. And the worst, Colorado. By the way, Colorado, and this is, we always get to this, the biggest splits in terms of home and road in all of Major League Baseball, once again, the Colorado Rockies, 9.7 units to the positive at home, betting them every game at Coors, minus 12.45 on the road. It's just an amazing thing. Can they ever truly... Remember they had that one year where they went deep, the Matt Holliday year, where they ended up losing to the Red Sox in the World Series. But, like, could they ever consistently put together a team in Colorado if your roster construction can't fit the way that the environment changes from Coors to everywhere else? It's so difficult.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking about this for 15 years, Gil, and I think that maybe it's just impossible to do. You think they would have tried in 15 years, they would have tried several ways to do it, pitching, hitting, fielding. And I think what it comes down to is that there's just such a difference playing those high altitude games that the players, when they get used to it at home, then they got to go on the road, and it really helps the pitcher out. But it's not good for the batter. And I think it actually goes beyond park effects. I think it goes to pitch effects. So if you play, say, eight, nine games at home and you're used to the ball moving a certain way, and then you got to go on the road, I think that's what it comes down to.
Right. I think you're right. It's the pitch effect more than the park effect. Because again, if a slider's not sliding the same way it is at Coors as it is in other environments, easier to hit, right? But if you're so used to play, if you're playing 81 games in that kind of environment, and then you go have to play 81 elsewhere, like the dramatic difference is what other ball players don't have to face. So that's why, by the way, it makes like someone like Nolan Arenado, you know, that much greater sort of in history's eye, I would think. But I'll have to ask Gritchick about it to see if it's affecting him. By the way, run line, which is sort of the de facto, these are talking about full games now with money line and run line, sort of the de facto power rating. When you're a favorite, you're favored by 1.5. When you're a dog, you're a dog of 1.5. Who's the number one run line team in baseball this year, Mark? Who you got?
I would say it's Baltimore.
Yeah, it is Baltimore.
Yeah.
By a shade over the Dodgers. What does that say about the Dodgers, by the way? That they're, well, I mean, that's unbelievable, right?
It's amazing. You know, I looked at a stat yesterday, Gil. The Dodgers on the run line at home, like the ROI is like 20%. It's crazy.
Oh, like, my God.
It's better than the straight up money line. Like the money line return was like 4%, and the run line ROI was like 20%. Dodgers at home.
That's amazing. Baltimore is up 28.75 units on the run line, but Dodgers 27.9, that much more impressive because they're always a favorite. They're always clearing the run line. By the way, Mets would be third at 18 units to the positive. The worst, this is pretty surprising. Who did you end up showing for your numbers?
I think maybe Frisco's there somewhere.
They're fifth worst by the covers numbers. We'll get these from covers.com. Again, this depends on whether you're, again, is it to win a unit on the positive side, risking, you know, that's sort of the quirk, or are you risking a unit? Sometimes that can alter it. I got Milwaukee here per covers as the worst, Miami, San Diego, Washington, San Francisco.
Yeah, they're down there. That's about what I have too. So yeah. The San Diego one is really surprising, especially since they haven't been able to put much together with this new offense. And you know, what's interesting about San Diego's team is like the underlying numbers look pretty good. They just haven't been able to score runs. So maybe that'll change here in the next month.
Gil. What's your number on the Padres? Your yes no to make the playoffs? Do you have those handy? I'm curious.
I got it. Yeah, just let me just effort that real fast. 75.6% to win the wild card. So they have a chance that they're not going to make it, Gil.
There is a chance, but it's like the Brewers and the Giants aren't really doing their part, are they?
Well, I've got, you know, the Giants went up some. I did this before the show, and the Giants went up somehow to 9.2%. So, I mean, if you can get them, I guess at plus 1,000,
wow,
then that's a good play. And then I've got the Crew looks like about 60% chance to get into the playoffs.
The Crew, by the way, would be the Brew Crew. Cool, nerdy language. By the way, it's nice that you've put more Giants magic into your model. That's why they got up to 9% more.
I guess. So that and the starting pitching, Gil.
That and the starting pitching, for sure. Okay, we'll come back. Starting pitchers that have been the most positive and negative for bettors. What is really predictive about that? I'm not sure. We'll have to decide. Then we'll get into umpires. Mark has the historical numbers over under umpires. Those directly translatable to your bets. Five innings, first innings, and his picks of the day in Major League Baseball. Next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Don't forget, our college football guide is out now. And the NFL guide drops on Thursday. Start your football season on the right foot with expert profiles of every team, including team trends, power ratings, and over-under recommendations, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Remember, the only way to get access to this year's football betting guides is to become a VSiN all-access subscriber. Sign up on our discounted football special and get all access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175. Or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Mark Borcher doing a little Q3 derivatives with us in Major League Baseball from a betting perspective. Jordan Montgomery, we were talking about earlier. Jordan Montgomery of the Cardinals, the second MLB pitcher in the modern era to go 4-0 with no more than one run allowed over his first four starts with the team. This off of his complete game Maddox one hitter yesterday, in which he faced one batter more than the minimum. By the way, do you know who the other pitcher was who in the modern era to go 4-0 with no more than one run allowed over his first four starts with the team? Any guesses?
I don't know, Gil.
Fernando Valenzuela, 1981. Fernando Mania. We have Jordando Mania. That's what we're having right now. That by stats by stats. So we appreciate that. That's fascinating. What are your picks for the day, by the way?
Well, I'm going to go with a parlay today. I'm going to go with the Giants with Rodon on the first five. These are two first five inning parlays. Rodon and the Giants against the Detroit Tigers, who just have been an awful team this year. And then Robbie Ray and the Mariners versus another awful team with another awful pitcher, Fetty and the Nationals. So a first five play, a parlay with those teams, lay the wood, if you will, and the return's going to be plus 110 with those two teams, Gil. That's one that I like, and we talked about the Rockies at home. I'm going to go with them again. Herman really has not been the Mon, but I can't get excited about Dane Dunning. I can't get excited about Dane Dunning. Really, you look at these two, and I think Marquez is probably going to be the better pitcher in Colorado. I think that, you know, Texas – I don't know. I mean, what are they doing over there? I guess they're going to wholesale it out.
What are they doing? My model,
I don't know. I mean, they kept the regime there for a long time, and it felt like they were comfortable just kind of middling it. And now maybe they're not comfortable doing it because they're wholesaling it out. But anyway, my model has it at minus 133, and you can see it in the market at about minus 113. So I think those are the two best plays on the card for me, Gil.
All right, so Giants Mariners first five parlay and the Colorado Rockies full game.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Chris Hubble, was that Bigfoot? No, it was an NFL podcast from Beating the Book. He's back, baby. Thank you, Chris. Mike Alvarez, you must really like Mark Borchardt, base winner, or he has worn you down. You don't correct him when he incorrectly says altitude instead of elevation. De facto power rating cashes his heavy chalk on a quarterly show. That from Mike Alvarez. I always love Mike Alvarez tweets. He's paying attention to every detail. Well, yeah, it's kind of probably elevation.
I love him. He's great.
He's the best. We met Mike. Mike showed up on Friday, so it was great meeting Mike finally. All right, let's continue with this. Starting pitchers, again, these are widely available. This first part is widely available. You can get them at a site like covers.com. And again, what of this is narrative for the through the first three quarters of the MLB season? What is actually predictive? With starting pitchers, I mean, I don't know that any of this is predictive, but it's Ashcraft with the Reds, who, again, if you had blindly backed the Cincinnati Reds every time he took the mound, you'd be up 10.5 units. But it is Martin Perez, speaking of the Rangers, right after that, at 8.35 units of the positive. Dylan Cease, I guess there's, you know, Dylan Cease has had himself a season. The White Sox are actually 18-6 in games that he's been starting, and you'd be up 7.57 units with him. By the way, at the very bottom of the list, if you were wondering, with starting pitchers, Patrick Corbin, no surprise, down 17.05 units. By the way, number two worst is now Frankie Montas, who, by the way, this is becoming a big deal for the Yankees, right? Now, the flip side of the Jordan Montgomery thing is that has Montas put together one inning of any repute with the Yankees yet? You'd be down 9.87 units betting him this year in its entirety. Mike Minor would be third. But there's no real predict. I mean, I guess Corbin's not very good at baseball. The Montas thing is interesting just because I don't know if he's getting it together.
Well, it's an interesting thing because the Yankees are looking bad as far as that. They lost Montgomery and they pick up Montas. And they're like, well, you know, on paper, you can look at a lot of stats and say, well, that's an upgrade. But Montas, if you look, he put a lot of his good stats together at that just awful cavern of the Oakland Coliseum, whatever they call it nowadays. And if you look at his splits, I mean, they're kind of alarming, but you think the Yankees would have done their due diligence with it because the Yankees, Yankee Stadium and whatever they're calling Oakland Coliseum nowadays, I mean, there are vast differences in the home ballparks. But that's the one thing that's pretty interesting about Montas is how his numbers really show the, you know, all of the stuff that he aggregated at Oakland as opposed to what he's aggregated outside of Oakland. And so that's concerning, I think, if you're a Yankee fan.
It's massively concerning because I don't know if you can, at this point, you can't trust him in a postseason series. By the way, it's Ring Central Coliseum, which I believe is the 95,000th sponsorship on that stadium. I'm not mistaken.
It's hard to keep this stuff together, actually. I think I keep calling Seattle Safeco Field. It's taken me a while to get to T-Mobile Park on that, you know.
All right, over under on umps. So this stuff is interesting because, again, you can get, like, on a site like StatFox, you can find out who is the umpire behind home plate calling the balls and strikes. And it's a rotation, right, Mark? It's rotation of the umpires. But you can find out who is the guy behind home plate on any given night, any given day of baseball. And so what we have is Mark has the database of this for many years. I'll just tell you what it is this year in terms of the most reliable over umpires. 6 out of 7 games behind home plate, Jerry Lane and Alan Porter, games have gone over. 10 out of 12, Chris Guccione, they've gone over. Jeff Nelson, 5 of 6 over. Hunter Wendelstedt, 8 of 10 over. And then you have the 7 out of 9 crew. Doug Eddings, oh boy, Doug Eddings is on there. Nick Marley, Todd Tishner, Chris Conroy, and Ed Hickox. All of those guys, 7 out of 9, have gone to the over. Also Daniel Bellino, 9 of 12. So that's really the group, and John Lipka, 9 of 12. That's really the big over umps. Who jibes with historical over records with those guys?
Alan Porter is a 16th out of, I think there's 85 guys in this chart that I have. So Alan Porter 16th to the over.
Ooh, it's so funny. 16th. I literally stopped myself from saying Alan Porter because I'd gotten through too many names, but 12 of 17 to the over with Alan Porter.
Yeah, and that one, the other one that was in there last quarter, and I saw him kind of up towards the top that I thought was noteworthy is Alfonso Marquez, who's number one over umpire in my chart. I think he was kind of towards the top there.
Yeah, so again, this is, you know, are these gospel? Does it happen every night? No, but there is some indication that some umpires will have a, again, in the case of the over part of it, that they will have a strike zone the size of a thimble, let's say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's correlation to it. And I think you have to be a good baseball handicapper, I think you got to take that into account.
All right. How about these names though? To the under now? Andy Fletcher, 11 of 13 this year when he's been calling home balls and strikes behind home plate, 11 of 13 to the under. Will Little, 9 of 11. Jim Reynolds, 8 of 10 to the under. These are all 7 of 9 to the unders. Nate Tomlinson, Charlie Ramos, Andy Fletcher, and our buddy Brian Knight. Not Brian McKnight, Brian Knight.
Yeah, Brian McKnight, you'd have to start back at one if we wanted to review it. But, you know, the guys that were closest when I looked at the chart, Gil, was there's a guy, Marty Foster and Ron Kolpa. Those are the guys that are kind of up there as far as unders this year and unders on the chart. Did you mention Jeremy Rehak?
I did not.
Okay. Well, Jeremy Rehak's number one to the under by my ratings. There's also, when we're talking about under umpires, Bill Miller, he's consistently been under for the last 10 years. So those are two guys to kind of think about when you're playing an under, Gil.
Since you bring up back at one, I know I said this on the Beating the Book podcast, but for those who missed it in Q2. So back at one, Brian McKnight, if we may just have 60 seconds of this. Back at one is mathematically impossible. I just want to review this. One, you're like a dream come true. Two, I just want to be with you. Three, girl, it's plain to see. And then he goes on, right, that you're the only one for me. But then he goes, four, repeat steps 1, 2, 3. So you can never get to step 5, Mark. Like, I don't know why I had to listen to this.
Yeah, I had to listen to that again when you said it on last the last podcast. And you're right. I was like, well, Gil's right about that.
You never fall in love, I guess. What was 5? What happens at 5? The whole thing is that they achieve love or something? Yeah, you never get there. Call Brian McKnight. Not Brian Knight, who's behind no plane. All right, we'll do first fives for those who have bet on this. We won't only do money line. By the way, money lines will come to us from Oddshark. I used to track these myself, but ever since we started doing these shows every day, I rely on Oddshark. They do a great job of these first five betting numbers. Then EV Analytics does first five run lines for those who actually lay a half run. We will talk about those. Those are interesting when you think about starting rotations. And then first inning stats. Love those. Which pitchers come out of the gate strong and which pitchers are just terrible when they get out of the gates in the first inning. That's next with Mark Borchardt, Base Winner, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by, as always, BetMGM Nevada. Have I mentioned that yet today? I believe I have. We have betting splits over at the website, though. Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. If you want to know where the money and bets are moving every game, well, the betting splits page is updated every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Skill Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. We have what do we have coming up after Q3? Madden simulations.
Yes, we again the very accurate Yahoo yearly Madden sim is out.
Listen, we've spent a whole summer talking NFL and different predictions. The least we could do is end it with Madden.
You know, it's the very accurate one where this sim in the past has had. Produced in 2020, the Chicago Bears winning the Super Bowl.
Well, I remember when that happened.
I don't think that was close.
Oh, that didn't happen?
And I think more importantly, had Herb winning the Coach of the Year last year, which might be even worse than the Bears winning winning the Super Bowl in 2020.
That didn't happen either, did
it? Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, well, we'll see what they have in store for this year.
All I can say is, Gil, quite the carnage.
On these sims?
On this sim, oh,
really?
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. All right, Q3 here, Major League Baseball. Back to Mark Borchardt, and let's talk first fives. Again, the purpose of this activity, is there something here that we can that sort of informs our bets moving forward? And I think with certain ones, no, and with certain ones, yes. First fives are interesting. Again, shout out to Odds Shark. They put this together. They compile them. They update them every week. And the number one team first fives, again, bizarro exercise, betting them as a favorite, betting them as a dog every single game. Do you know who the number one first five team is, Mark?
The New York Mets.
The New York Mets. By a wide, even with the first five loss yesterday to the Yankees, 20 units up by a wide margin over the Astros and the Dodgers. Astros up over 15. Dodgers lost the first five yesterday, so they're just barely in double digits as well. But the Mets, and that makes sense, right? That's without DeGrom. Imagine if they had had DeGrom.
DeGrom's on another planet. I mean, that pitch, I think Jeff should be really happy. It's like, I've never seen metrics like I've seen for DeGrom. I mean, you almost have to play him. He was at his worst against the Braves, and he's only allowed two runs and struck out like 10 guys. I mean, it was crazy. So, like, I just think that Mets team's going to be tough. Unless DeGrom gets hurt, that's the only thing.
By the way, here the top eight on first five, seven of them are contending for a playoff bid. Mets, Astros, Dodgers. I'll skip number four. Twins, Braves, Cardinals, Rays. These are the most profitable first five, actually the only profitable first five teams in all of baseball. Only eight clubs have made you money. Any idea who number four is? I'm going to ask Jeff and you to guess. Jeff first.
It's going to be someone really out of left field, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
That you left them out. I'm going to guess the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Bingo, bango.
Wow, look at that.
Arizona Diamondbacks, number four.
Yeah, that's super surprising, Gil.
Almost 10 units to the positive on the Diamondbacks' first five this year. Which means
tells me they're blowing a lot of games late.
That tells you that. It also tells you that they're huge dogs in the first five and they actually get there, right? The worst first five teams, money line we're talking, and I'm talking about bad. Nationals. 27 units down as a first five proposition. Rockies, second worst, 26.5. And then there's a bit of a drop-off, but surprisingly, to some degree, the Giants and Phillies end up at 3 and 4.
Yeah, that is surprising. You know, the Giants have one of the best pitching staffs,
starting,
top five,
yeah.
That's for sure. And I guess they just can't hit in the early innings because that's why I like the Giants as kind of like a dark horse, Gil. I mean, they got Webb, they got Wood, they
got
Rodon.
Look at you.
You know, and Cobb's pretty good too. So like, I don't know. I'm still dark horsing the Giants for now.
All right, that was courtesy of Odd Shark. Thank you to Odd Shark for those money line first five stats. How about run line first five stats? This is from EV Analytics. They compile this. The number one first five run line team through three quarters of the season with over 25 units to the positive. Any guesses? 16.5% ROI.
I'd go Dodgers on that one.
Astros. Houston Astros, who just kill it. First five run line. By the way, the Dodgers are pretty far back. Dodgers are a little shy of 10 units to the positive. So Houston by far, like the next best team run line first five. Remember, I just said 25.25 units to the positive. Is the Mets at 13.9. Like Astros just destroy first fives on the run line. The worst first fives on the run line? Oh, boy. Five guesses. Worst first five team, if you bet them every day, favorite or underdog every single time, they're down.
How about the Blue Jays?
Man, you're good. It's the Blue Jays, down 31.65 units, ROI of minus 21.07%. Not too far behind the Washington Nationals, but that's predictable, right? 26.4 down, units-wise.
Yeah, the only thing I can say about Toronto is I think that humidor is having an effect at that park because they're having problems at home getting runs when you compare it to, you know, the last few years. And so that would be, I think, a logical deduction. I think this humidor, you talk about run production in Major League Baseball. One of the things I wanted to talk about today, just real briefly, is that August run production is down at like 4.17 in August, and it should be up. So I think that's just that could only be the humidor, I guess, unless they're switching balls around, Gil.
Do you buy, because I've thrown this out there a couple times, maybe even with you, you know, right now, Yankees up, what is it, 8 games in the American League East, 8.5 over the Blue Jays, 8 over the Rays, 8.5 over the Blue Jays. Are you buying the fact that the Rays or the Jays could get there with a quarter of the season
left? I don't
think
so. You know, I've got 94.5% for the Yankees. You look at the expected standings, and you cannot deny this if you're a Yankee fan or for whoever you are. Weighted runs created plus 117, xFIP minus 91, and they've saved 80 defensive runs. So their expected wins is tops in baseball still, even with their slump, 82.5 expected wins. So they've been a little bit unlucky. The wins right now, 75-48. They should be 82.5 and 40.5. So I think there's a lot of talk like the Yankees aren't even getting 10 in the playoffs. I disagree with that. I think the Yankees could be the American League winner.
Okay. It's a man who had them at 98 projected wins when their season win total pre-flop was 91. So
okay, so you're kind of smirking a little bit, but like look at Astros weighted runs created plus 113. Look at
smirking.
Their xFIP minus 95. So the Yankees beat them in both parts. Defensive run saved 80 Yankees, 58 Astros. Like, what else is there in baseball?
Mark, I was not smirking. Don't make me take out the phone and not pay attention and check scores. Don't make me do that.
I love it, Gil.
So, okay, Jeff was great because he guessed the Diamondbacks as the fourth best money line team on First Fives. You were great because you guessed the Blue Jays as the worst run line of First Five team. I'm surprised that both of you got these. This is first innings, pitching performances, right? Who comes out strong? But let's start with who comes out the worst. So we're gonna put this at minimum 50 plate appearances faced. So we'll set the parameter relatively high, right? You have to have had 50 plate appearances against said pitchers. And let's go to on-base average. Who, with those parameters, has the worst on-base average against in first innings alone this year? If you get this, if either one of you gets this, it's ridiculous. Jeff?
I cheated, so I'll let Jeff guess.
All right,
so this is the pitcher, correct?
This is the pitcher.
I'm going with Pittsburgh's Bryce Wilson.
It's a good guess.
Yeah.
Sixth. Bryce Wilson has given up a .421 on-base average in the first innings, minimum 50 plate appearances against. Who you have at number one, Mark?
Pallante.
Yes. Andre Pallante, which I would never have guessed. .472 on-base against. He's no longer starting, though, is he? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, they pulled him out of the rotation. You know, this upsets me, Gil, because I know we bet on Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
Once together, and like I'm only looking at total batters face 30 total batters face is my threshold, but he's like third worst, and so like you know that like there was one game that he had like this his only game, the one that we bet against him.
Pallante's first. You say Kikuchi. 464 on base against average. Mitch Keller third. Patrick Corbin. Patrick Corbin is like the Hall of Fame of bad every which way. John Heasley, then Bryce Wilson. The best. And this is like a who's who. Max Fried, 167 on base against, minimum 50 plate appearances. Corbin Burns, number two, 184. Max Scherzer, third, 191. Spencer Strider, fourth, 196. And Shane McClanahan, fifth, 200. That's pristine. That's beautiful.
Yeah, that is. That's a good. So if you lower the minimum to total batters face to 30, Austin Voth is there, baby. Your Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah. I love it. Mark, always a pleasure, man. Always Gil, fun.
Absolutely, Gil.
My man. And thanks for the picks as well. Now, we should have had Back at One by Brian McKnight taking us out to commercial, but I guess we're not doing that.
I've got to get your producer on that.
If I could only find him. Oh, there he is. Jeff Parlay with Madden Sims next.
A numbers game. Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM and King of Sportsbook unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager on the BetMGM app, sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. So before we get to your Madden Sims, a couple big news, big news items this morning. One, Will Zalatoris on the golf tour. He has pulled out officially of the tour championship at East Lake Golf Club. Remember, he was injured on the third hole of the BMW Championship on Saturday. So those of you who had Will Zalatoris FedEx Cup futures, yeah.
That is a very expensive back injury.
It is, because the purse is massive. And he really, I mean, it is a serious injury. That is two herniated discs in his back, so he is out. But the other one, which we mentioned earlier, was, and we were doing MLB 3 derivatives, but KD and the new, I was about to say the New Jersey Nets, KD and the Brooklyn Nets agree to move forward together. Now, Will Hill and I alluded to this when we were on this show. We were both speculating. We're like, he's staying. Like, he's staying, because we went through everything, right? We're like, he wants to go to Phoenix or Miami. And I talked about it even the day after. This was before we had Will on. I was like, it doesn't work out for the Brooklyn Nets. It doesn't work out for KD for those two teams, because, again, in the case of Miami, you couldn't have Bam traded because of the Ben Simmons deal. You couldn't have two guys with that specific type of contract on the same team together. So they couldn't include Bam in a deal, and they certainly weren't going to include older players like Kyle Lowry or Jimmy Butler, because they're your best player. It wasn't going to happen. It just didn't work out if you can't include Bam. The same thing with the Suns. Like, DeAndre Ayton would have had to have been in that deal, but you just signed Nick Claxton to a long-term deal, so it's like that would be doubling up. And then if you're not getting Devin Booker and they just re-signed him in Phoenix, then what was really the upside of that for Brooklyn? So those were out the window. And then all the other speculation on different teams, you know, they didn't really go that far. Yes, there was the Boston Celtics flare-up with Jaylen Brown. That didn't really get off the ground. Then there was this latest Phoenix thing where, hey, we're going to trade for, it's going to be Harden, Embiid, and Durant. But then you're getting rid of Tybal, and you're getting rid of Tyrese Maxey. And it's like, would you really want that as your remaining Sixers team? And so here it is. KD's staying right where he's staying. And so when we were having this discussion, when everybody was thinking he was going to one of these teams along the way, Will Hill came on the show, host of the New York City Cast, and he grabbed a Brooklyn Nets ticket at 50-1 to win the NBA championship. And this morning it's back at, Jeff?
It would be 7-1.
7-1.
That is a good closing line value. That will probably end up not being able to buy a sandwich.
So the whole time I do shows, the beauty of this show is that many of our guests are also texting in real time or tweeting in real time about the show. And two of these guys, and Will is one of them, right, who has the 50-1 ticket. But we're on a three-way text, and it's basically Will trying to say how amazing his ticket is, which it is, by the way. And the other person, who I don't know if he wants me to name who he is, just basically telling him, your ticket's worthless. They're not winning the NBA championship. But you'd like to have a 50-1 ticket on the Nets, wouldn't you, Jeff? That'd be a nice ticket.
It's kind of like my Green Bay ticket from last year, where I got out in front of thinking that Rodgers was not going to retire. I had 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. It's the same sort of deal, which, again, I think that Nets ticket that Will has, amazing ticket.
It's a beautiful ticket.
We'll see the same fate that my Packers ticket ended up having.
Yeah, it's like those who are of a certain age will remember this. Sugar Ray Leonard, before he ultimately fought Marvin Hagler in 1987, when he had retired, maybe the third time, there was some speculation. Marvelous Marvin Hagler was at the height of his powers, and there was some speculation that Ray was going to come out of retirement to fight him. And Ray, imagine the Imagine the arrogance of this. Ray had a black tie event where he stood on stage and Hagler was in the audience ready for Ray to say, yes, this fight is going to happen. And at the very end, Ray goes, but unfortunately, it will never happen. This was like in 85 or something, 2 years before it actually did. And Ray won the fight, as we all know, April 6, 1987. But this is like with the Brooklyn Nets, 50-1 ticket. Have we learned our lesson about the Nets? Along with Ben Simmons, do you give this, like, where do you put them if you stack up the Eastern Conference? The Jeff Parlay power rankings. Right now, what's the Eastern Conference stack?
Milwaukee is still one. I know Boston was in the finals last year, but if Middleton doesn't get hurt, Milwaukee wins that series and probably wins the NBA title still for a second consecutive year. So Milwaukee's one, Boston is two, and then it gets very squirrely after that because...
I'm willing to put Brooklyn three.
I would probably put Brooklyn ahead of Miami and Philly. But
ahead of Philly for sure. Like I feel like Philly. I just don't buy it year after year after year. I just don't buy it. But I would. The point is they're not one and they're not two. They're not one and they're not two. Like my big takeaway with NBA stuff is, are we not learning our lesson? Like a minute after the Warriors won the NBA championship, I was like talking to people, oh, where do you put the Warriors? Ah, the Warriors should be six or seven. I was like, have we not learned anything?
6-1 on Golden State to win it all is probably right. That's the second favorite right now on the board.
Beat them. That's
fine.
That's still the team you got to beat, period.
Well, again, the NBA odds are a little bit weird right now because the Clippers, who we have no proof that Kawhi Leonard is still playing at the level that Kawhi Leonard has played at in the past.
Playing?
Yeah, and may exactly.
I just want to know he's around.
The Clippers are the second favorite in the West and 7-1 to win the title.
Oh, the young and the restless.
Yeah, I don't.
It's going to be KD and Kyrie. It's going to be KD and Kyrie all over again. Brooklyn, we just wasted 2 months of our time. But good on Will Hill for grabbing the 50-1 anyway. Good on him. And I'm glad we talked about it here on the show. We were both like, he's staying. There's nowhere for him to go. All right, we got 3 minutes, Jeff. You want to do Madden Sims?
Well, quickly, you buried the lead for your Washington Commanders.
Oh, yes.
Chase Young is on the physically unable to perform list. So he is out for at least the first 4 weeks of the regular season.
Now. Logan Thomas off the PUP, the pup list for Washington, but mm-hmm. But Chase Young still on the
well,
PUP.
Well, goes on. He was not on. He now goes on.
He now goes on, right.
Yeah, so.
Still rehabbing. Both of them blew out their knee last year. For Washington, Chase Young now goes on again. That Washington defense again. If all these teams have a positive side, they all have a negative side. There's a full spectrum in between. Washington's good side season still revolves around that defense because man, are they stacked? And I know that was a down year after a great year the year before, but they could be great on defense if those guys can just play together and. Chase Young's injury not allowing that to happen, at least the first part of this season. All right. Madden simulations, as Jeff pointed out before the break.
Yes. Take these with a grain of salt, everybody.
2 years ago, the Bears won the Super Bowl with Madden simulations, and last year, Urban Meyer was coach of the year.
Yes, this is from Yahoo. Yahoo's simulation. They've done it for 5 years. The last time that they actually got it right was 2019, where they produced the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
So they got that right. The last 2 years have been a little bit off. This year upcoming is going to be off as well.
How many Sims are we doing here?
It does not say.
Okay, so that's a big deal.
So that's the big deal
here.
Because if you're doing this 100 times.
If you're doing it 5 times, the Bears might be your champion, right? But if you're doing it 5 billion times.
Yeah.
All right, what are they doing?
All right, so division winners. Let's go with the ones that could happen. First.
All right, you got 90 seconds.
Okay, Dallas East in the NFC, Green Bay North, Tampa South, Arizona in the West.
Okay.
All of those conceivable.
Okay.
In the AFC, Kansas City, of course, conceivable. Indianapolis, conceivable. Cleveland, eh. And then the New York Jets. I can tell you with all confidence,
okay.
Not happening.
And we're off the rails.
Off and running. other playoff teams, Baltimore, Buffalo, Tennessee in the AFC.
All right.
NFC, Philadelphia, New Orleans, and Carolina.
Besides the Jets, this is pretty legit.
Well, no Rams, no 49ers in the NFC, period. So that's a little bit strange.
Well, yes, but okay. That's
no
true.
No Rams, no Bengals in the playoffs as well. Dak Prescott, your simulation MVP, breaking both of Peyton Manning's records with yardage and touchdown passes. So ridiculous there. Cooper Kupp Offensive Player of the Year again, breaking the receiving record. They broke all these records.
Wow.
Max Crosby broke Michael Strahan and T.J. Watt's sack record. So obviously something's going on here.
Right. We don't need to play the season. There it is.
We have no idea. By the way, the Super Bowl, the Kansas City Chiefs get there but lose to the New Orleans Saints.
Okay.
So,
all right.
As we said, Gil, please do not use this in your handicapping.
That's right.
But if somehow this all happens, the Yahoo Sim will be making more money than all.
This is all for recreational purposes. Please do not actually put wagers behind these. Where the Jets lose in the first round of the playoffs, what happens to them?
Doesn't say what happened in the playoffs. But Zach Wilson only throws four interceptions in this sim, which would be great if that happened.
Yeah, okay.
Don't think that will happen, though.
Well, we've officially covered it all now. The Lombardi Line is next. You'll have some things to say about the Nets, I'm sure. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.